And welcome, everybody, to episode 703 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great and Breakman the Bold. We had a little bit of time before we started to kind of talk a little bit. How are you guys doing? I know, Break, you had a week.
It was okay. It was fine.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's better than bad, right?
Right.
I mean, that's always good. What about you, Eric?
Okay, mostly week? Okay. I didn't get to play Xenoblade 3 as much as nearly as I'd hoped I would this week, but oh well. I'm making up for it by playing it pretty much all weekend then.
Well, that's cool, man. Maybe you'll get that sucker done. Probably, knowing
hopefully
you.
Hopefully by next week when Soul Hackers 2 comes out.
Yeah. All right, let's get straight into the news. We don't have a ton for you guys this week, but let's go ahead and do it.
Thank the Lord, praise Jesus.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, you are up, my man.
Okay, Mutation M is coming to the Switch, and it's dated for September 1st.
What the hell did you just say?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Anno's like Latin for like year or something.
Yeah, it looks like is like sort of like how can I put this? Like
cyberpunk
detective
game.
Adventure-ish RPG sort of. I don't even know what to classify. I've seen videos on this, but
from what I've read of reviews or like I've read them like in passing, but the general consensus was that the plot was incoherent, but it was still interesting to experience.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Blade Runner meets...
I'm thinking mostly incoherentness probably comes from maybe a not-so-great localization choices.
So it's not like a Metal Gear game, it's just bad translation?
It could be. It could be that. I mean, I could see that.
Maybe it's a little
like
bit of both.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. I mean, it looks decent enough. I've seen enough video on it, but anyways.
I might get it when it's on like a heavy discount, though.
Yeah, me too. All right, anything else on that, Eric?
I don't think I'll play the Switch version, though, because it probably will have performance issues.
All right, anything else?
Which is weird for a game like that. I mean, but like still, like you don't want an adventure game running slow, because it shouldn't be.
Right. All right, let's move on to the next story, Break.
Coming to us live from RPG Site. Excuse me. Narrative-focused fairy tale horror RPG Little Goody Two Shoes announced for Astral Shift and Square Enix.
You know what comes up when you say that to me, Break? Little Goody Two Shoes. Little Goody Two Shoes. Ash from Evil Dead.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
This actually sounds pretty interesting. Developer Astral Shift has unveiled Little Goody Two Shoes, a narrative-focused RPG that is described as a mysterious new fairy tale anime adventure with a dark twist. The project is being published by the Square Enix Collective Initiative, initiative that primarily partners with select upcoming indie titles. Astral Shift is based in Portugal and is also a co-developer on the project Mirror. Goldener Tram? I do not know. Remastered as releasing Pocket Mirror from 2016. Another mystery horror RPG. So that sounds interesting.
Yeah. No, it I mean, how many games from Portugal do we ever get? You know, I'm totally down for that.
I would not be surprised if it's more like Corpse Party, where there's like very little combat and just a lot of exploration.
Set
in the mysterious Kieferberg Village, Little Goody Two Shoes is an homage to the original PlayStation early PS2 RPGs and is centered around Elise, an ambitious girl determined to become rich and escape her humble life. That's a different quest than the normal RPG. That's normally the villain's goal
right,
of the RPG.
Right.
Players will step into Elise's shoes and soon find themselves immersed in a 90s-inspired horror role-playing adventure game. Role-play elements such as substance, reputation, and suspicion, and exploration and narrative will guide players to complete their daily tasks by day and uncover the woodland's darkest secrets by night. Players will also have the ability to set their own paths to navigate through the wicked woods, solve puzzles, and build meaningful relationships, a nostalgic gaming experience. So I think Eric's right. I don't think there's any fighting in this game.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, you know, sometimes it's not.
That reminds me of like games on like from the 80s, like Shadowgate, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, where it's mostly just story driven and explorative type things. That's why I don't understand the hate for walking sims. You know, it's like I played a couple of them and it's actually a nice diversion from killing everything.
Also,
you know?
It's wrong to call Death Stranding a walking simulator when it's actually just a Postman simulator.
It's a Norman Reedus walking simulator.
It's not even a walking simulator, because at a certain point you'll be able to make zip lines and you won't have to even walk.
Sweet.
Oh, so it's just a Norman Reedus simulator. Got it. Day in the life of Norman Reedus.
Yeah.
The video game.
Right. Norman Reedus, the video game.
Wakes up in the morning, takes a shit.
Right. And he doesn't
10 minutes later, getting breakfast.
Right. You could actually turn that shit into a grenade and throw it at these monsters called BTs.
I think they need to make a serious puzzle game from Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, you know, who did it?
Idea is they take the DNA from your poop and then they put it into a bomb that when it explodes, like, it will just cause a reaction to the BTs and cause them to die or whatever.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
You thought that through.
You
know. Oh, Kojima thought that through. I'm the one tried to piece it together because most of the stuff is obscure and makes very little sense.
Yeah, well, that's Kojima for you, man. I mean, you know, we've learned anything from Kojima over the years.
It's apparently like tied to the plot because like there's stuff in his blood, and sometimes blood gets in poop. So you know,
there was a.
Eating Chipotle, is he?
There was Chipotle existing then? I don't think so.
I think it was a Reddit thread that was talking about Kojima and whether or not he was just esoteric or he was just like incoherent. And you know, I go back and forth, man. Like I don't know the true answer to that, because like you look at some of the games.
Maybe
like,
it depends on whether or not he's high or something.
Maybe. That's a good. I mean, I didn't even think about that angle. I wasn't even thinking in those terms, Eric. That's very good possibility, but you know. All right, let's move on.
Metal Gear 1 is him on beer. Metal Gear 2 was him on like whiskey. And Metal Gear 3 was him going straight tequila and Jaeger bombs.
Right, he graduated from one horrible thing to another. Apric 5.
He's getting more and more drunk, and that's why the plot makes sense.
Right. It just gets wacky. I mean, it's just totally
You're
wacky.
You're talking about Solid, right? Not
Solid.
Metal,
yeah.
Metal Gear 1 and 2. Metal Gear 1 and 2 is him. Probably doing
weed. The gateway
like
drug.
It's most tame. Like he was drinking like Gatorade then.
Right, Gatorade. Yeah.
Spiked Gatorade.
Spiked Gatorade. Pick five.
The spike kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier until
he
just stopped drinking Gatorade altogether.
That's right. Freak Five's in the house. What's up, Freak Five? You're behind on Exiles, Freak Five, because Eric got an Exile before the show even started. Son of a bitch.
He said it's a picture of food, so you can go ahead and exile him.
Okay, you're exiled.
The Metal Gear Solid 4 was his attempt to sabotage the series so that you wouldn't have to work on it anymore.
Probably. But he probably got tired of working on that shit anyways.
I can't blame him.
The way that, Konami treated him, you know, I mean, I don't blame him, but whatever. All right.
Not only that, like, he couldn't do anything else because people are like, Metal Gear? What about Metal Gear? We need more Metal Gear.
Right.
Like, I love Metal Gear. Like, this is my thing, but I want to do other stuff.
Right. And then, yeah.
Nobody wanted him to do other stuff. It's just Metal Gear.
He
got to squeak out 2 mecha games, and then that was it.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next story coming to us live from RPGsite.net. Illustrated text-based RPG Road Warden arrives in September 8th for PC.
Philly cheesesteak loaded for... How does that work? Is it just like smothered in steak and cheese?
Steak and cheese.
Like it's basically just a Philly cheesesteak with no bun.
Yeah, pretty much.
On
fries, yeah. So you trade one card for another.
I'll eat that with a fork.
Yeah. Let's see.
It's like
so
cheap without the sauce.
So this is basically a text game, like an old school text game. Modern take on classic text driven choose your own adventure RPGs. So there you go. Cool.
That's neat.
September 8th, man. That's something a little bit.
The
and now
the potato.
And now for something completely different. All right, Eric, next story.
Next story is Broken Roads gets a new publisher, delayed to 2023.
Nope.
Anyways, no longer being published by Team 17, and Versus Evil is now the new publisher.
I wonder why that took place. That's really weird.
We gotta get them back on.
We do gotta get these guys back on. They were very passionate about this game. And this game, I mean, we've known about this game for what now? 2 years, guys? Like, literally?
Feels longer than that, maybe, yeah.
Could be longer.
Well, we already speculated is the reason why they probably delayed it to 2023, because they're... No, that was another game, but it's probably the same reason, but because I think they're bringing it to PlayStation 5 and Series X and X.
Well, that's a good move, if that's the case, so...
Also, Versus Evil is a fucking badass name, I'm just saying.
It is, man, no doubt, so... And obviously they got something with this game, man. It looks gorgeous. This game looks absolutely gorgeous, so... I mean, that was one of the things that struck us when we first saw this. I thought it was 2 years. I could be wrong, Brake. It could be longer. But
I was just saying it felt like more than 2 years. Yeah. So you're probably right. I mean,
we've talked to these cats. We should get in contact with these guys again, Eric, see if we can wrangle up an interview with Drop Bear Bytes, because these guys are good dudes, man. Really good dudes.
All right. I'll just look into it.
Yeah. All right, Eric, next story, please.
Guild Wars 2 for Steam has been dated, and it's coming out on August 23rd, so in a couple days.
Wasn't Skodama talking about Guild Wars 2 last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Skodama that was talking about that. Yesterday's episode of Beavis and Butthead was great, Freak 5 says. I have not seen it.
And if you want absolutely everything, there's a bundle that's going to cost you $98.97, which is an oddly specific number, by the way.
Yeah, that is an oddly specific number. Why are they doing that? Hmm. Is it related to something?
Maybe.
$98.97. Hmm. That's interesting. Okay. All right.
Is that when the game first launched, though?
In 1998, probably.
It was the 90s.
Yeah. I mean, it still holds up pretty good.
I'm thinking it's an aughts game, actually, but like early aughts.
All right.
Maybe that's when development started, though. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think it was Skodama and he was still playing that game, isn't he?
I was talking about Guild Wars 2. Yeah, this is Guild Wars 2.
No, not even early aughts. It's mid aughts. Or no, post aughts. 2012.
So Guild Wars 2 was not on Steam all this time? That's really hard for me to believe. That's really weird. Have you watched the South Park 25th? I've seen pieces of it, Freak 5. It's pretty fun.
I did.
Pretty fun. Alright, Break. Last story.
Coming to us live from RPG Site, Dorymon, Story of Seasons, Friends of the Great Kingdom, launches on November 2nd.
It's Doraemon, by the way.
Doraemon? Doraemon. These damn games need to come with
like pronunciation cards, man.
Something to help me out, you know?
The beloved Japanese cartoon character. Yeah. It's been around for forever.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. Yeah.
That's okay, fine. Whatever. not
quite as long as Astro Boy, Tetsuwan Atom, but like still.
Pretty close. Yeah. Yeah.
The press release also revealed bonus items that will be available with early physical copies of or digital pre-orders. That's good. The Summerware set will... so it's all in-game stuff. Never mind. The Summerware set will contain costumes for the 5 main Dorymon. Is that right? Dorymon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Characters from the original manga and anime series. The Home Furniture set will add 3 new items exclusive to the Switch and PS5, and a physical exclusive Sweet Seed set will provide more seeds to plant early. Who the fuck cares? Bandai Namco will also sell a digital deluxe edition of the game. It will contain a bonus seasonal... It will contain a bonus seasonal vegetable seed set as a substitute for the aforementioned sweet seed set. This edition will also come with an 80-track digital soundtrack and a game season pass for future post-release DLC. So that one actually is...
pretty beefy. Yeah, pretty beefy.
I do like how the characters kind of look like paper cutouts.
Yeah.
I like that you can get the whole goddamn soundtrack. 80 tracks, I don't imagine there are any more in the game than that.
No,
the
that's...
you reused at least half the soundtrack from the first game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, I think that does it for the new. Unless there's anything else on that break.
There's a new trailer for it, and I do not see anything else of relevance. So it'll be out on November 2nd. There you go.
All right. PlayStation's has got a new store, or new store, a new sale running. I mean, if you guys haven't picked up Bioshock Trilogy by now, go ahead and pick that up. I think it's like $15 or like $5 a game.
Those are fun games.
Really fun. What
Even
else?
Even though the third one's story like completely collapses in on itself, it's still a fun game to play up until then.
Right. Yeah, two's...
And the DLC tries to fix the mistakes they made in the story, but they made so many mistakes.
Yeah, it's just a lot of holes in that second one. Yeah. But still a good game, like solid, you know, gameplay wise for sure. Yes. And then Infinite obviously is really good too. But
that's the one I'm talking about. Is Infinite.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about two. Two was
two. The story was solid. It was just
it was slightly disappointing.
The first one,
yeah,
it wasn't like the story for the first game was. You know, kind of overwhelmed the second story, I think.
Yeah.
Because there was a reveal at the end of the second game, but it was like the first one had such huge reveal that it's like
yeah,
it
one
would
of
like
the...
be like if they made a sequel to the Sixth Sense.
Right.
You know, Sixth
right.
Sense 2. Well, no matter what the reveal is going to be at the end, there's no way anybody's going to remember it more than I See Dead People.
Right. You know? Exactly. Now that's a great analogy, Break, for sure. Good analysis, man. So yeah, a bunch of cool stuff on PlayStation. Anything going on Xbox that you know of, Break?
Oh shit, that was last week. No.
What about Nintendo, Eric? I did see that they had a fairly good eShop one that I forgot to mention last week.
Yeah. Like, lots of stuff on Nintendo sale.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, that pretty much sums it up. Lots of good sales, which I will talk a little bit more about later, you know, kind of related. Breakman, did anybody send you anything?
No.
All right.
Inquiring minds want to know.
All right. Inquiring minds want to know what you've been playing, Break.
This week, old stuff mostly. I played a little bit more of Wreckfest, but I'm kind of stuck in a section of it. Because there's to get any farther, I have to win races with a certain type of car, and it's really hard. I'm not very good at racing. If you could just let me get back to knocking cars off the road and stuff, that's what I'm good at. Let me do that.
Let me just do that over and over.
Yeah,
just
I'm not good at
go back to
race.
The GameCube version of Breakout, man, or not Breakout, Burnout. And
that's awesome. Like I'm good at sabotaging a race. Not very good at winning one.
Right.
So I'm kind of stuck on that. And other than that, I've been playing mostly old games. So Pac-Man versus, I'm not Pac-Man versus Pac-Man. Collection, which is their museum, which is 256 and mm-hmm. Pac-Man Attacks and regular Pac-Man, just playing those games. And then I saw something else that I had downloaded, and I'm like, yeah, shit, I haven't tried this. So I popped open the Sega Genesis Collection.
Oh.
I was playing that. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I have opened it. Because that's what I was thinking of last week when we were talking about Phantasy Star 2.
Mm.
It's on that collection.
Oh. Gotcha.
Not on the Sega Mini. It was on the this. It's like it's here. So I've been playing old games like Sonic 2 and mostly I've been playing Shining Force, the original.
Oh, Shining Force!
I never played it before, and I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, not too bad.
Great strategy
man.
Game, a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember playing that and actually enjoying it. I don't enjoy many strategy type games, but that was one
I
remember.
I fucking love strategy games.
I know, you're the resident strategy guy, for sure, man. So, anything else you've been playing, Break?
No, that's it.
Alright, Eric, what you been playing?
I've been playing just more Xenoblade 3 and Dark Souls 2 whenever, because mostly that this week, because I have very little time to play Xenoblade 3. Because, like, I had to do laundry one day, and then I had to just watch a bunch of videos because I watch a couple of subscriptions on YouTube and that just takes up a lot of time after work. So
yeah, for sure.
And I was just tired, so I was like, no, I'll just do whatever next day, and then the next stuff happens.
It always happens that way, especially to me, man. I sit down to play a game, and then no sooner than I sit down, I get a phone call, or I have to do something, and it just sucks. But
usually happens to me. It's like when I've finally gotten everything done, and I can sit down and relax. I sit down, and it's like, oh, I got poop now. God damn it.
Pooping gets in the way of a lot of video gaming, that's for sure.
No, man. It's like, what the hell?
You know, at least you could say hashtag I poop today, you know.
There's a video game that Freak should play, but I want to wait to tell him if he... oh, wait, he is in chat.
Yeah, he is in chat.
There's a game called Call of the Lamb that came out recently by Devolver Digital, and it's about raising a cult. You're like a cute little lamb, but like you're... The cult's devoted to an eldritch like god, and you make sacrifices to him, but a lot of the game's economy runs on shit, and there's like shit everywhere, like literal shit.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like different types of shit, or just
like
amount.
Like you can turn corpses into shit, and then you can use shit to as compost for food, so you can keep your cult village alive.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So can you get like
it is also corn in it? Or? It's also corn. A dungeon crawler, so I'm sure you can use shit as a weapon too.
Can you get a corn? Corn shit. That'd be
like
awesome.
Extra crunchy poop or something.
God. Oh yeah, he said last week he was thinking about buying it. But yeah, because I don't think it was out then. It's out now.
Yeah. I heard some fairly good things about it. Times
is
it could be
on Game Pass though? I'm not sure.
That I don't know.
I don't think it is, but I won't be surprised if it doesn't show up there soon.
When I get back from Vegas, depending on how much money I got...
It's not my kind of game, because I'm not into the whole city management or thing.
Yeah. When I get back from Vegas after September, I'm going to get an Xbox X, and then we'll...
Yeah, I think... I vaguely remember seeing Freak talk about it in chat, but I was paying attention to other things then, so yeah. I barely remember it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to skip reviews for now. We're going to put those all the way into free-for-all this week. I got a couple of things to talk about in free-for-all, but let's move on to everybody's favorite segment.
Ah, what is it?
Stinko of the Week.
All right, Brake, man, I'm going to start with you. I got to step away for just a minute. If Brake gets done, Eric, go ahead and do your stinko. Go right ahead.
Well, me and Eric are both Ohioans, so, fuck Mike DeWine. He's a piece of shit. I said he'd be the worst thing we could ever elect, and I think I was right. Not only is he, implementing all the draconian abortion laws, and he has not yet acknowledged any of the ones... Any of the things that have gone wrong, like the raping of a 10-year-old girl, like he barely acknowledged that, and then he lied about it and said, "Well, yeah, she would have been able to take care of that in Ohio." No, she wouldn't have. She didn't meet the requirements. But now we found out that remember the nuclear power plant scandal?
No.
How some politicians were taking huge kickbacks
to not make surprised.
Sure. Well, right, but then to make sure the nuclear power plants got on, there was a big deal with them, and some voters went out and got votes to put on and make sure that we got the vote on it. And if that didn't happen, it probably would not have been discovered to fraud. Well, Mike DeWine until this week had been pretty much exempt from any he wasn't implemented in that in any way. Now he's apparently was heavily involved in it. Yeah. So not only has he made it easier for people to carry weapons in the state, made it illegal to be a pregnant person and not be in control of the government. He's broken our constitution, the voting laws, which is another thing that I really want to bitch about. I have before. Him and the Republican Party are blatantly breaking the Ohio Constitution, and their punishment for it is nothing. They're not going to get punished for getting away with it. It's fucking ridiculous. And we now know for a fact our governor's a crook, and he's not going to get punished for it. So, yeah. Our state's run by fucking crooks, evil pieces of shit, and Mike DeWine's the worst of the bunch. So, yeah. Do you have a stinko, Eric?
I can't top that, really.
I'm pooping, says Frank. Thanks, Frank. We all needed to know.
I guess having to deal with the new pollen outbreak, because fall's almost here, and fall almost always comes early in Ohio, so I got a face full of it, and instead of sneezing uncontrollably, even with allergy medicine, I got a throat full of shit.
Ugh. That's gross.
Yeah, and like, it's hard to breathe sometimes.
Ugh. Do you have any, like, throat medicine?
No, I need to think about getting a lozenge tomorrow or something, though.
Yeah, you definitely should. If you're still feeling like that tomorrow, I'd get something like ASAP. Apparently he's pooping, so I guess we gotta think of other stinkos or something here. Freak's coming down with a cold. That sucks. Sorry.
Unless that's what's happening to me, because like that could be it too.
Ooh, yeah. Either way, that sucks. Cold allergies. They both fucking suck. What else can we complain about here? Bring up the news. I know there's got to be something shitty on here to piss me off. Oh, HBO Max, they're bullshit. Yeah, fuck them. Yeah, if you're... amid their content purge, they're launching a 30% discount for HBO Max. So now's the time to get on HBO Max and binge as much as you can before you cancel it. Because, I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm binging everything on that shit.
I'd like to binge stuff right now, but I've got like a gigantic RPG to play through.
Right.
So maybe after that,
Xenoblade 3 is going to take up a lot of your time. Yes.
Yeah, because I'm only about halfway through the game, and I'm only like at the 60 something hour mark.
Oof. That's halfway through. Wow.
I got to chapter 6, and I'm assuming there's like 10 chapters, just like the last Xenoblade.
I'd have to go up your expertise
zone. I'm probably not going to do absolutely everything, but I'm going to do a great majority of the side quests, because a lot of the side quests have meaty story content to them, so...
Yeah.
Unlike the other Xenoblades, which was just a ton of fetch quests that usually had dumb plots.
Here I come to save the day!
I think I just found a new Sweeto.
What?
This is interesting. Well, we're not Sweetos yet.
Hold up on that.
I was trying to find Stinkos because we're stalling.
Stalling. Alright, thanks, Break. That was awesome, man. Great job, man. Great job.
Thanks.
I have a Stinko. A couple of Stinkos. First one... we were talking about sales on the PlayStation Store, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever gotten to that point where they discount, like, a bunch of shit, like, to absurd levels, like, $3, 99 cents,
mm-hmm.
You know, like that point where you almost feel like you have to purchase something? I mean, I've been getting into this thing where I go into the PlayStation Store and it's like, and luckily I don't have money right now, because otherwise I'd be buying, like, probably 30 different things, but sales paralysis, man. I don't know. I'm just like, they're just too much stuff.
Should I get anything at all?
What's that?
I'm just saying what you're probably thinking, like, what should I buy? Should I buy anything at all, or should I wait?
There's lots of stuff to buy. I mean,
that Inside was being sold for like $2 on the eShop.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great one.
I'm not sure. I think it might also be on sale on Xbox, but it's also on Game Pass currently.
Yeah, it's on the PlayStation Store, too, for, I think, like $4 or something. But it's worth it. It's a great game. But, I mean, there's just so much stuff. I get, like, paralysis looking at all of it. But luckily, like I said, I had lack of money due to my vacation saving, which is good, you know. The other thing is that we can talk a little bit about is I might actually be a material witness in the Denver shootings. I don't know if I told you guys about the shootings that happened in Denver downtown. It's a pretty big thing. I don't know if it reached national status yet. Four officers decided, actually it was five officers, three of them decided to shoot into a crowd. And the guy was given, he had a weapon, but he clearly threw it, raised his hands in the air. Of course, it was a black guy. And they shot him like, I think it was twice. They didn't kill him, but they shot a total of, they injured a total of 7 people. Let's just put it that way.
Holy
so,
fucking Christ.
Yes, yes. So
when you said they only hit him twice, I'm like, oh, really? They only fired twice? That doesn't sound like
no, twice. No. They shot like 5 times that I know of, probably more, but they ended up injuring 7 people total.
They injured 7 people. It sounds like they just unloaded clips, which is the police that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how I play into this is earlier that same – I mean – I had just left that scene. I was right there that night. I was taking video of, like, the bar crowd after. Everybody was cool. Nobody was really, you know, fighting or anything. But about a block away, this incident took place as I was in my car heading out. But that's not where I come into this. Earlier in the day, 3 of those officers, I have video of 3 of those officers and a friend of mine, and I both commented on one of the officers that shot in that shooting, that one day he was going to kill somebody. And it was prophetic. Luckily, nobody died that night. But one of the officers that we encountered that night is definitely dangerous and is definitely going to get somebody killed. And that if that isn't proof positive evidence of somebody that's unhinged and doesn't need a gun on their hip, it's that video. So I have it on my other channel, and the lawyers are definitely interested in what I have to say. So I might be a material witness in that shooting. So just really weird the way that it happened. But yeah, about an hour and a half earlier, I encountered that officer and 2 of the other officers there. And I can't speak too much on the 2 other officers, but the one officer, I did make the observation that he's going to get somebody killed. And later that night, I mean, he pulled out his weapon and he unnecessarily shot at someone. And it's unclear whether his bullet or the other officer's bullets ended up injuring people or a combination of all of them. But yes, so it was pretty harrowing. So that was my... those were my stinkos of the week, and you guys already went over yours. Let's move on to happier things.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! Sweeto of the week!
Alright, let's do Sweetos of the week. Breakman, your Sweeto of the week.
Alright, I saw this one when I was looking for stinkos. You know, remember the NES company, Sunsoft?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
They're back!
What? How?
Yes! The Game Boy Sunsoft, best known for like games Blaster Master, Batman, stuff like that, is attempting to return to publishing and developing video games. Hmm. They announced just yesterday.
Well, I always thought that they're getting the rights from Sunsoft from IntiCreates getting rights from Sunsoft to make the Blaster Master games was like a getting your foot in the door, back in the door type of strategy.
That's cool.
Well, sounds like it was, because they're coming back. So, yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Just don't produce shitty games, and you'll be okay.
They don't make shitty games.
I know, I'm just giving you shit, Eric.
A lot of games a lot of people didn't play.
They made a lot of games that people didn't play. That's exactly right.
They were more about quality than quantity. They didn't make a lot.
I like the Batman game. The Batman game is pretty good.
I think their only really questionable game would be Fester's Quest.
Oh, I hate that game so fucking much.
I like that game, man.
Game Boy like ports of their NES content were sometimes not that great, but also interesting in that the set that they could also be very different. Like the Batman Game Boy game is very different than the NES one.
Fester's Quest was just an extremely hard game to beat.
But let me see. Like they're, I'm just looking at a list of some other games: Batman, Blaster Master, Lemmings. All fantastic games. Super Fantasy Zone.
They made the first Lemmings for the NES, but like Lemmings is made by a completely different company.
Right. I know. I'm saying these are NES games. My bad. I forgot to say that. I'm sorry. Batman: Return of the Joker, Gremlins 2, and Arrow the Acrobat for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, it's not a bad little lineup, you know?
It's weird, like, Revenge of Joker for the NES is, like, has a Genesis and Super NES port, which was not released, but the Genesis one definitely was, but it is so bizarre and weird compared to the NES version. I mean, it's practically the same game, but the visual style is like completely different.
Yeah. All right. What else?
And my other Sweeto goes to the... we didn't have that many problems connecting today.
I know, right?
I still had to do the usual reinstall Skype, but it usually after I do that, it makes reboot, and like twice at least, and other ship. This time it just started working right after. I was like, well, really?
Maybe the new update worked, because there is a new update, so maybe that's cured some of the ills. I don't know.
Hopefully.
I know.
I'll cross my fingers, and then there'll be a new update next week.
And it'll fuck it all up, exactly. All right, anything else, Break?
Nope, that's it.
All right, Eric, your Sweeto of the week.
Dragon Ball Super Superhero is my Sweeto this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, since I don't want to go back to theaters, I'm just waiting until it's out on digital.
That's probably a good plan, man.
Well, that means you didn't see it, so I don't know if I can review it.
Yeah, don't review it this week.
You can review it if you want. I'll just take my headset off.
Well, we've got a shit ton of reviews, so let's see how much time we got.
Yeah, we do have a lot of reviews, so I don't see why we...
We should be able to have time. All right, my Sweeto, real quickly. Bernie got a check this week from the government. Can you believe it? State of Colorado gave every taxpayer a check for $750. Can you believe that? It included a... note from the governor saying I signed a certain bill that said, you know, we had a surplus, so we're giving it back to the taxpayers. So that's a big win, even though I'm not a big fan of the governor here. Of course, I'm not a big fan of, you know, most politicians, to be honest. Matter of fact, almost all of them.
In other words, they're doing more than our shitty governor is.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it. Bernie was, like, super surprised. She's like, holy shit, this is a check for $750, you know? Couldn't have come at a better time because we're saving to go to Vegas, you know what I'm saying? So, just nice. Just nice to have... I mean, I wish, you know, all states and even the federal government, if there's ever a surplus, I wish that's... You know, we need more of that. You know what I mean? Like... A distribution of money that way, you know? I mean, that helps a lot. Freak 5's Sweeto is Mrs. Freak has not been back in the hospital. That's really good, Freak 5. I'm happy to hear that, man. So, there you go. I mean, a little bit of extra Christmas cheer before Christmas. You know what I'm saying? So, there you go. All right.
It's more like Vegas cheer.
Yeah, Vegas cheer. Hey, I like that. I like that a lot. So let's go to our free for all. This is gonna be fun. It's a free for all. All right, so we're doing something a little different this week. I'm gonna talk about something real quick, and then we're gonna get into a bunch of reviews. So how dare you, Breakman? You're exiled, you son of a bitch.
Oh, fuck, that sucks. That's a stinko.
Oh, my landlady died. Wow. And the sun is kicking you out? What kind of bullshit is that, Skodema? Ugh, that really sucks, man. That really blows, man. And I just... I know. God damn it.
Landlord's a bunch of bullshit. That's happening a lot around here lately.
Like, maybe you can find someplace near Skodema. I know it's going to be kind of a tough sell.
My situation is a little different, though, because, like, I don't have a landlord. I have a manager for the complex, which is owned by somebody else.
I actually do pay taxes, Freak 5, but no, I don't have a job currently, no.
Because, like, he has, like, several of these places, and I'm just in one of them, and the manager just takes care of the place. He's not really a landlord.
Yeah. I mean, that really sucks.
He'll come to you for rent if you're, like, late on rent, but, like, that's it.
I'm really sorry to hear
that. He's the flunky. He's not a landlord, he's just the flunky.
Yeah. I hate that shit, man. Like, that's...
The landlord doesn't even live in my county.
I mean, I think all leases should come with end lease, like options, right? Like, you have an option to go for another year.
I think you should be, if you own the property and you're renting it out, like, you should have to live on the property. At least a little bit of the year.
That's interesting. I'd have to think about that.
Multiple properties, but like you shouldn't be owning a property and just.
But this location is weird because like When I was living at the other complex that this person owns, I could do month to month payments, but now I have to do leases every year here. It was stupid.
Okay, guys,
if you live in the place, you're gonna be more invested in it. And I think that's the problem with a lot of landlords. Like Eric saying, his landlord doesn't even live in the county or anything. He wouldn't give a shit about what's going on in that apartment.
Yeah, that's why we don't have paved roads. I mean, I think we have the last vestiges of paved road for our parking and stuff like that. But whenever holes get formed, they just fill in the holes with tar, and it just ends up getting destroyed again by the end of the year.
Yeah, or within a few weeks. They do that shit here. Our roads are some of the worst in the country, if not the worst in the country.
Just repave the entire complex.
Yeah, why not? Well, it costs money, that's why.
It does cost money, yeah.
But, alright, let's get to this.
Something they actually did in my old place. And the only reason I even left... I mean, I get the advantage of living really close to my work now, but before I had to commute, and that kind of sucked. And I'll save gas, but like... But it's only when after I left that they actually got a paved parking.
Yeah, that lot of good that did you, man. All right, let's get to some of this stuff. And now, right here, I'm just going to go over this real quickly. I just thought it was real. This is more of a lulz than a free for all. But Breakman, let me ask you: do you know what a crudité is?
A crudité?
Yes.
A crudite.
Have you ever heard of that term in your lifetime?
It sounds like crouton, though.
It sort of sounds familiar.
Okay.
Sort of sounds like coup d'etat.
Yeah.
Sort of sounds like coup d'etat, for sure. What a coup d'etat. Let me explain.
Is it a material in Dark Souls that you use a weight to tighten?
Let me explain why I bring this up. Dr. Oz brought up a campaign video. He's going up against Fetterman in Pennsylvania. And it was the funniest thing because he was in, I don't know if you saw this break, but he was in this store that's, I guess, pronounced Wegmans, but he called it Wagner. Or something. So he doesn't even know what the local store in Pennsylvania is called.
He doesn't even know the name of the building he's in?
Right.
Was he looking for the E-Belong ring?
So he goes into this grocery store, right? It's like a Kroger's. Just imagine a Kroger store, right? But he called it Wagner's instead of Wegmans. And you know, like, it'd be like here, Kroger's here is called King Supers. You know, if somebody called King Supers King Swanman or something, like, he totally got it wrong, right? So you know he's not local just based off of that, right? It's like
almost as bad as the idiot on Fortnite who got memed on the internet already.
Yeah.
It's pronounced Kamehameha.
Yeah. So, anyways, he goes in there with no shopping cart, no, like, handheld cart, you know, like, carrier. Basket. There you go. Thanks, Breakman. And he starts talking about a crudité, and he gets, you got a broccoli for $4, and he starts grabbing all this stuff in his arms, guacamole, salsa, and he's like, you know, so this stuff cost you over $20, and that's even before the tequila. And I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck is a crudité, right? So, his opponent, Fetterman, goes, here in Pennsylvania, we call this a veggie tray. So a crudité is basically a rich person's way of saying veggie tray. So,
charcuterie board.
Charcuterie board.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, same thing.
Yeah, it's a charcuterie board. Yeah, and I didn't know what that was either. I call that meat and cheese plate, you know, around my neck of the woods. But so these rich people have
names. Didn't know those things had names until recently.
Right. Me neither. But it's really funny. Like I had never heard that word crudité, you know, other than in books or, you know, every once in a while you'd see it like a charcuterie, deal, yeah. You know? So yeah, there you go.
Of course, because he's Oz and a piece of shit, he blamed Biden on the cost of
I love how people blame presidents for everything.
What's even funnier is that he was listing off the wrong prices anyway.
I know, he was so stupid, man. It was just the dumbest thing. Like, who the fuck, he grabbed a thing of salsa, right? Who the hell has salsa on a veggie tray? I mean, does anybody eat salsa with veggies?
Like, yeah, I do. I will sometimes.
Yeah, really? Like, you'll take like a celery stick. I could see maybe a celery stick.
Yeah, I use celery for probably salsa.
All right.
I mean, just like, because at that point, the thing is just the salsa delivery mechanism. So who cares what it is?
Yeah, Freak says I think it depends on the price of the meat and cheese. A charcuterie board has more expensive meats and cheeses. Yes, I know, Freak 5. We're not as bougie as you are I shortened it even more.
I don't eat my meat and cheeses on boards. I eat them on the floor like normal poor people.
I put them on a plate. That's what I do.
You know what I do with my meats and cheeses, Freak 5? I put them between two pieces of bread, and I call that a sandwich today.
You should do it like Lightyear. A piece of bread and whatever else in between two slices of meat.
Exactly.
That sounds good.
That does sound good, man.
That is extra fat, though.
Yeah.
So it's like, it kind of defeats the purpose. So yeah. Are you trying to avoid carbs, or are you trying to avoid fat?
Yeah. All right.
I'm trying to avoid neither. I'm just enjoying a delicious hamburger. Yeah. Sandwich.
Exactly.
Thing,
like, if you wanted to do the healthy option.
It was like that KFC thing when they.
Some lettuce for their sandwich.
Yeah, it was like that KFC thing when they put like two pieces of chicken and then like something in. I don't even know what. Like bacon in the middle. Like, what the fuck was crazy. That thing? Do you guys remember that? Like.
Vaguely.
Double downs were ridiculous.
Yeah, like, double down.
It was like never again.
Yeah. It's like, all right, let's get to our free-for-all this week. We've got a bunch of reviews to do. Let's get right to it. Breakman, let's do yours first.
Remember last week or the week before you said you'd double-team this review with me if I did it?
Yeah, the Sonic 2?
Sonic 2, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you know how video games, like Sonic, for instance, Sonic and then Sonic 2. Sonic was a fun game. Sonic 2 improved on original Sonic in pretty much every way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't Hollywood do that? Why does Hollywood find ways to go backwards? Like, when they have something good, it seems inevitable that the sequel is always going to be worse than the first one.
Yeah.
And this one is... It's too long for one thing. It's got a weird subplot with a wedding.
I complained about that. I still think that it's a better movie than the original, though.
I don't, not at all, because the original was tight and concise. Like, once it started, like they went with the story and they went down it, you know. And I looked at the runtime. The first one was like an hour and a half long. This one's over 2 hours long.
Yeah, that was my big problem with this movie, Breakman. I'm glad you brought that up. I thought it was overbloated. The wedding was wholly unnecessary. If they had taken about a half an hour out of that movie, I wonder if anybody can do a super fan cut of Sonic 2 and just cut that shit out, and then it'll probably be every bit as good as the first. I thought I'm more along the lines with
the wedding scene at the end still happened because if you cut that out completely, then the second. Or the climax of the movie doesn't make too much sense.
Yeah, I know, but it's
like the way they designed it, like they made that wedding an integral part of the story, but it was, but they were kept going back and forth to this wedding, which was absolutely pointless.
I agree.
Oh, they're playing volleyball. Ooh, yay!
I know. It was like, it would literally was about a half an hour too bloated.
It seemed like they just didn't know what to do with their two main human actors, so they're like, I was watching an episode of Friends the other night, and they had a wedding in it. Let's do that.
I thought Jim Carrey was brilliant.
It wasn't enough to derail my enjoyment. That's basically what I'm trying to say. I guess that was a different experience.
I didn't hate Sonic 2. I really enjoyed the first one. I think it was like a 7 or something, whereas I think this one was like a 5.
I mean, I don't think that's too far from where I'm thinking, Break. But I also, I probably give it about the same as the first. The main, maybe slightly less, maybe a 6.5, because I think it was above average, but like you said, there were some plot points that could have been cut out or done differently to make it a little more interesting. Nobody cared about that wedding. I did like the end sequence with Robotnik and that big, mech. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Jim Carrey has been pretty perfect as a villain.
Absolutely.
I don't think it would be considered perfect as a Robotnik, per se.
Right.
He's not what was envisioned originally for the Robotnik character, but he's so good at being like this evil villain that he's most of the fun of this movie.
Absolutely, 100%.
I liked the buddy team up of Sonic and Donut Lord.
I do like the new characters. Obviously Knuckles and Tails and
I thought they did a good job with them.
It was nice. It was a good addition for sure. Freak 5 says, I have another idea for a TikTok channel. I will wear a mask in the video, and I will do a review of the bathroom I am in while I am taking a shit. I will call my
two best slayers in here because he is betting on you completely hating the film and you didn't, so.
Right.
I win, I guess.
So, what's your rating of Sonic 2?
I say 6.5. I thought it was pretty good, slightly above average, just not quite as good as the first one. I think I also gave the first one, I think, maybe a 7.5. So,
And looking at the scores online, the Rotten Tomato and IMDb scores are almost similar between the two movies.
What is it? Do you know?
6.5 IMDb, 63% for the first one. I think 69% for the second one.
Sounds about right. I mean, I don't think the second one is particularly better.
I think
but
I gave the movie a 7.5.
Yeah. So I think we're all within range of what Sonic 2 is. I will call myself the Secret Shitter, a spoof of the Secret Shopper.
I do like the angry ant lady, though, because I thought I just wanted to see someone go crazy, and she went crazy, so.
Yeah.
But the whole wedding thing was kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, though. Absolutely.
Both 47% Metacritic score, too. Wow, that is, I've never seen a sequel and an original get about the same score.
No, that's kind of weird. I mean, All right, what else you got, Brake?
Let me see here. Since it was actually mentioned in chat, the South Park 25th anniversary concert.
Oh, what'd you think of that?
I thought it was a pretty fun event. There was a lot of unnecessary music that I didn't particularly want in there. This is a spoiler, but they kind of spoil it in the event because for some reason, it looks like they made it for commercial with commercials in mind because it stops at certain points and says coming up. I'm like, oh, what the? Oh, well, I wish you didn't say that because now you've ruined it for me or whatever.
Yeah.
So, there's three different groups in there that show up, not just the South Park guys doing the music, but but when they're doing the South Park stuff, they're hitting, they do a lot of the great songs from it, but not every song, and not all the good ones because they've got a billion songs.
Is that available on any streaming service, or was this a YouTube thing?
Paramount.
Paramount's got it. Oh, I didn't fucking know that. God damn it. Okay. Well, that's
Paramount's
cool.
For the 25th anniversary, I think they've got all the South Park episodes, I think, now.
Good. South Park, by the 25th, it was done at Red Rocks, just to let you guys know, and Red Rocks here is right here.
I know this is unrelated, but I'm glad I waited to watch Jurassic World Dominion until now, because it's coming on Peacock soon.
Oh, good.
And it's going to have an extended version you can watch.
Oh, good. Yeah, all right.
I still need to watch the Jurassic World movies.
Yeah. So what do you...
I'm far behind. I was so disappointed with the last Jurassic Park movie I said. I just haven't rushed out to go see Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park sucked.
What are you giving the South Park concert, Brake?
I had a lot of fun with it. I've actually watched it a couple times because still the music is still good. It's all music I've heard before for the most part. And so I don't know how to rate a concert usually when I'm not there and I'm watching on television. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I
can imagine it would have been really cool there because of some of the things they did. They projected the images of the characters on the mountain, on the side of a mountain.
Yeah. That's how Red Rocks is. It's like either side is. It's almost acoustically perfect for a concert. There's a reason why it's world famous. It was voted the number one place in the world to have a concert. Like literally. So
I bet it would have been pretty awesome to be there. Like I said, they I don't think they could show it on the TV as well as it. I'm betting it looked in real life.
I can guarantee that's the case, Breakman, because I've been to Red Rocks for a concert and have seen concerts at Red Rocks on TV, and it doesn't do it justice, man. It's a majestic place. It's. You should put it on your bucket list, Break, to see a concert at Red Rocks, no matter which concert it is. It's a one of a kind, once in a lifetime experience at Red Rocks. It's pretty awesome. So, you know, put it on your bucket list for sure. So,
all right, I'll do that.
Yeah.
So, anyways, if you're a fan of South Park music, especially, I give it a thumbs up. You should check it out. If you don't like the music from the show and you don't like offensive music where they're saying fuck and talking about moms being bitches and uncles fucking, stuff like that, if you don't want to hear that, you probably wouldn't like it.
Right, right. That was a nice way of referencing a bunch of good songs, man.
Yeah.
Kyle's mom's a big fat bitch, and I have no problem saying that.
That's true. That's true.
All right.
Oh, it aired on Comedy Central. Yeah, you're probably right then, Freak. He said it aired on Comedy Central. I'd imagine that's why those commercial breaks were in there. Because I'm not going to run it for you, but there's a group that shows up kind of like, surprise, like we're here. Like it was unexpected.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly big fans of them, but I thought the one song they did was really good. I thought.
Yeah.
Because it was performed not just by them, but like everybody else on stage too.
Yeah, it was really cool. I saw it.
So
really
Primus
cool.
was also performing the song with them.
Yes.
And I'm not ruining anything by saying Primus is there. I mean, they do the theme song, so
right.
Primus
right.
is one of the groups that was there.
Interesting story on how Primus came to be, but yeah.
They actually explain how the theme song came to be of Primus. That's an interesting story. I won't run it. It's in there.
Yep.
Kyle Rittenhouse's mom is a big fat bitch.
Freak Five, you're something else, man. All right. What else you got?
Internet today. So yeah, South Park fans, you definitely have to watch that. It was good shit. The other one I just watched actually earlier today. I wasn't a fan of the TV show. I said many times. I was really disappointed with it. The Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh,
has a movie now.
Okay.
I still need to watch the rest of season 2 before I get to the movie, though.
I don't think I watched season 2 at all. I think I quit at season 1 somewhere.
That good,
I
huh?
I quite enjoyed the movie.
Huh, okay.
It's really colorful animation. I still don't like Master Splinter and what they've done to him at all. That was the one thing I hated the most about the show.
I didn't hate it, but I thought it was an odd choice because, like, okay, so you made him basically Travis Touchdown, but he's past his prime, and now he's a mutant rat, and he's training the turtles.
and that might be one of my problems with this movie, too. He's like, he does a little bit of fighting in it, but mostly he just gets his ass kicked, you know? And he's supposed to be the Master Splinter, which they always use in, like, the old cartoons. Anytime, like, the turtles are getting their asses kicked, Splinter would show up and save them, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We forgot Splinter's around. I think he was the master.
I mean, I like it, but I think it's a big misstep for a lot of older fans because a lot of what Rise of the TMT is let's do this thing ironically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I compared it to like Teen Titans Go, where they're more concerned about the humor and bringing in like a younger generation, which I get. But the plot of the movie is it starts in the future. The Krang have attacked. The Krang are. They're going with the Krang aren't one guy again. It's the Krang is an entire species of aliens, like the 2000 cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the comic was like that too.
Well, the Krang are really. Well, in the 2012 series, the Krang are just an offshoot of the Utrom.
Right. So anyway, so it starts in the future, and basically Earth's lost, and the last heroes are in retreat, and their only last option is to send somebody back into the past. And this is where they introduce Casey Jones into the Rise of the Turtles. He's now the future boy sent in the past. It's a different, another different take on Casey Jones, because they're actually all completely different.
They're all different, man. I can never keep up with Casey Jones.
The only thing the same about is the hockey mask, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
So this one...
Casey's also a girl.
What?
Right?
No, Casey's a guy.
Hmm. And that's the impression the internet was giving me, so I guess I don't know where they were going.
No, Casey Jones is a boy. They call him Future Boy. At some point, but yeah. So Casey Jones is he was trained by Leonardo in this one. So Leonardo's his sensei in the future. But he goes back in time to try and stop the invasion of the Krang, and it's over exaggerated and like the Rise of the Turtles was. But and I think most of the humor is okay. But I think the story's more at certain points. The story's more darker than the Rise of the Turtles was, like dealing with like loss and stuff like that. But as I said, it was really colorful, especially like the final battle. It reminded me a lot of I can't remember the name of the guy who made him, but what is that anime?
You're expecting me to tell you?
I know. Some sort of G Lagoon?
Lagoon?
No. It's about a mech. People living underground. They discover a mech.
Gurren Lagann?
Oh, yeah. Gurren Lagann.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Which you know how, like, watch.
Well, then that doesn't help. But it's, like, really exaggerated animation, and there's a lot of color splashing across the screen and stuff like that. And I like that kind of stuff, so... I enjoyed it. I like this movie a lot more than I like the show, actually.
Huh. All right, so what are you giving Turtles?
I'm going to give it a 7.
All right.
I like this more than the Sonic movie.
I'm curious as to how Seth Rogen's Mutant Mayhem is going to turn out next year.
Ooh, that's a good question. All right, any other reviews, Break?
I've only watched a couple seasons of it, but I just... So I don't want to review the other thing. No, that's okay.
All right. Eric, your reviews.
Okay, Beavis and Butthead do the Universe. I saw that on Saturday. And it's more or less a sequel to Beavis and Butthead do America, because it's almost plot-wise pretty much exactly the same. It's just the sequence of events are different. But like the basic structure is the same.
What's it?
Ruin the science fair. Are about to face juvenile court and go to juvenile hall, and somebody vouches for them. The judge vouches for them and tries to get them on like a program to try to reform them by inspiring them to do better. So he sends them to space camp.
Yeah,
and then they get picked for a mission for completely insane reasons, and as they're trained as astronauts, and of course because they're Beavis and Butthead, they fuck that up, and then they get sucked into a wormhole and end up in the present day because it takes place in 1998, and then they get sent to 2022.
Yeah. And which is a nice way of them bringing Beavis and Butthead into modern times. I thought it was pretty genius.
The rest of the movie is more or less an excuse to provide social commentary on the modern era.
Yeah,
of cell phones and everything involved in that, like people putting in stupid passwords for passwords, or the fact that Beavis and Butthead say that call it a TV. Because they don't know what a cell phone really, a smartphone is, and saying that the channel sucks, and that's social commentary on people who are way too obsessed with their smartphones and are always looking at it all the time. And
break, man.
And then the UFOs have become popular recently, so that comes into play as well, and it's providing commentary on that. And It also does the multiverse thing.
Yes, I was going to say the multiverse thing was really funny, really well done too, and it totally made fun of multiverses and stuff
like that. And the animation style isn't too far removed from the original series, but it's more in line with King of Hills in terms of Mike Judge's animation technique.
Yeah. Yeah, I did notice a slightly different animated style, but enough homage to the previous that it's not gonna.
I thought that they had lived in Arlen, Texas, but apparently they lived in Highland instead.
Anyone have any idea when the new Matrix game is coming out? I don't think there's any new Matrix game in the works, Scotoma. There was that special demo that was pretty badass. I don't know.
I've been disappointed by Matrix games in the past. Like, they haven't totally lived up to what they should be. Like, you should have been like fucking Superman in the last Matrix game.
You haven't played the demo, have you, Break? The Matrix demo, the Unreal Engine demo. It's pretty close to Superman.
No, I mean, like, I was talking about the what was that PS2 game, I think, or something. Oh, yeah, around the movies.
And the Matrix. That's what it was called, I think.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
But by the end of that movie, like, you should have been fucking Superman if it wanted to be like with the game. You know?
I know. And you know what? Somebody did a modification of that demo, Break, with Superman, and it looked incredible. It looked like what a Superman game should be. You know. So I'm hoping that they make a Superman game with that engine, and it has the makings of being something really, really special. Really does.
That's cool.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't involve flying through fucking rings.
Yeah, right. Maybe make homage to that, like Superman has to like go through this like art thing that's full of rings, you know, to get to some place or something, or just I would have fun with that actually. I would think it would be really fun.
Oh, you know, they could do that with a Mr. Mixoplex level.
Yeah,
because like, he's the one to like the fuck with Superman, you know.
Yeah,
and like he could be the one making the jokes, like he could make the fourth wall jokes to the audience. Ooh, like the Superman can't make.
Right. All right, Eric, what else you got there?
I'm giving Steve's Up Ahead Dune of the Universe an 8.
I think I would concur with that, man. I thought actually it was a little bit better than that. I probably would give it a 9 out of 10 just because I mean, it was just nonstop laughter throughout the whole movie. So it's. I highly recommend watching Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe. It's really good.
And I also watched Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Oh, okay.
Which is on Paramount Plus now. It's no longer on either Hulu or HBO Max. But
Paramount's been silently buying up stuff, it seems.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is obviously a sequel to Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and the first movie, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And it's kind of weird juxtaposing this against Beavis and Butthead, because they were basically Beavis and Butthead, but they were himbos instead of complete, total ass fucks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 25 years later, and their daughters are all grown up now, and they still haven't saved the world by uniting it in music. And they actually get called by people in the future to basically come up with a solution, because apparently them saving the world and uniting it in music is related to them saving all reality. And so they've got like a timetable of 75 minutes or something. Or hours, 75 hours, or whatever.
Yeah.
So the whole movie's about them trying to steal the music from their future selves because they couldn't figure it out in the present. It turns out that maybe they're not actually the ones that actually save the world at all.
Yeah. I like that movie. Eric, I thought it was pretty inventive and creative.
And the people that, you know, didn't like it probably are the kinds of people that don't actually get what Bill and Ted's actually about.
Yeah. Bogus Journey was okay, Break, man. I mean, I wasn't offended.
A bunch of himbos trying to fumble their way through life.
Yeah. I don't know why Bogus Journey gets a lot of that hate, man. I liked Bogus Journey okay.
I kind of like how we get to see a lot more of Hell this time.
Yeah.
And I think the weakest point was like them trying to make Death 2 with the Dennis robot. It's like, yeah, he's not Death. And quit trying to make it funny. But other than that, I think it's a good movie. I'm giving it a 7.5 over. It's not quite as good as Beavis and Butthead in terms of quality.
Yeah, so. I would agree with that. I think when I reviewed that money, I think I gave it a 7.5 as well, Eric. So I thought it was fine.
So my next movie is Predators, which I think is a 2010 movie.
Ooh, has it been that long?
2010, I think.
Jesus.
Yeah, 2010.
It's a great movie. But.
I didn't like it as much as you guys did, but it's definitely not The Predator, which was awful.
Yeah, yeah.
2018. Robert Rodriguez likes to make a lot of ridiculous stuff happen in his movies, and he's obviously a person that's more style over substance, in my opinion. But
also, you have to remember that that movie comes off of after we just been subjected to Aliens versus Predator. And Aliens versus
yes,
Predator 2.
Yes.
So, like, after we'd been subjected to those, anything was pretty much an upgrade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those movies were awful, and they could have been badass too, man.
I know they definitely could have been.
And like, there was just a couple unnecessary things
that they were cash-ins.
Like the prison convict guy talking about bitch raping at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like, really?
They want you to understand that these people are like bad people, that none of these people are good.
Yeah, but you can do that without having to get, you know, gross like that.
Probably. But they just want you to understand, like, you shouldn't be rooting for these people.
Yeah, but they already had proven that by the time we got to that point. So it's like, you're just doing this to be gross.
Probably.
But I liked Lawrence Fishburne in the movie.
Yes, that was my favorite character.
Scavenger man.
Yes.
He was talking to himself because he's apparently become a schizophrenic in his time there.
Yeah, which makes sense, right? I mean, if you're isolated without, you know.
Yeah, that was definitely my favorite character in the movie. Like, he just shows up. He's only in it for like 20 minutes, but he's fucking hilarious because he's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And then I saw a tweet based on this movie where somebody pitched an idea of the normal family man who gets captured by aliens, but he's actually a serial killer, and now he's murdering all the aliens on the ship.
Yeah.
And there is a character like that in this movie.
Yes. Yes.
And then the image that he used was from this character. So yeah, I want to see that too. Yeah. It's like, just why don't you just make a Predators movie where he ingrates himself to the Predator race, like at some colony somewhere, and he just starts finding ingenious ways to murder them.
Right. So alright, like, so what are you giving Predators?
Predator Saul or something?
Predator Saul.
Maybe.
What are you giving Predators, Eric?
I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay,
so,
that's fair.
That sounds like
so my rating for the Predator movies that I've seen so far would be, the first Predator would be a 7.5, this would be a 7, and Prey would be an 8.
Wow, and so
Predator 2 would be a 6.5.
I like Predator 2 a lot.
For me, it would be Predator, and Predator 2 would be like the best of the best.
Well, the thing is, I didn't like
Have 2 you seen that Prey?
Much because, I mean, it was good, but it was also super campy, and I'd rather write Predator to be more like Prey, where it's taking itself a bit more seriously.
Break, did you see Prey, Break?
And the original Predator was also pretty campy, so.
Yeah. I think.
I mean, it was campy in little ways, like, you know, like, I don't have time to bleed and stuff like that, but that was basically the point of showing you how, like, badass these guys were.
Right.
Like, these guys are supposed to be the the most badass guys that have ever been, you know.
It was also definitely a product of its time, too.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Right. And that's
kind
of the point, too, of showing, you know, I'm just saying, these movies with all the heroes and the big buff guys, and they're going to go in and they're going to kill all the bad guys. You're used to that. So they show them doing that.
Yeah, like,
and then the Predator comes in and shows that he's the best.
Predator on Steam is fun. You can play as either the humans or the Predator. Yeah. I've seen that game. It looks pretty fun.
But I also saw Lightyear.
Hold on, let me. So, what are you giving?
Yeah, what were you trying to say before?
I gave it a rating.
Okay.
A 7, I think.
Yeah, in my opinion, Predator 1's probably the best. I'd go with Prey number 2, and then I would probably go with Predator 2 and Predators like on the same level. I don't know. All right,
Who was in Predator 2?
Glover. Yeah.
Who else was in Predator 2?
Gary Busey.
Who else was in Predator 2?
That's right.
I'm trying to think. I know Gary Busey.
Come on,
was in
another
it.
Awesome actor. This is why this movie's better of all of them. Come on.
Kevin Bacon?
No.
No, he's not in that one.
I can't remember.
Unfortunately, he died not too long ago, tragically. Several years, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, I think.
Who? Break, remind
Bill
me.
Bill Paxton.
Oh, that's right. He is in Predator 2.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. I forgot about that, man. Holy shit. Yeah. All right. Lightyear.
Lightyear, it's okay. I mean, I think the basic premise of the movie is kind of off because it's a movie... I mean, it kind of works because it's not like Toy Story ever told us that Buzz Lightyear was a character based on a movie that Andy watched that eventually got franchised. That's the headcanon going with it. And the franchised toy kid-friendly version or kid-friendly version that could be sold to probably kids even younger than he is in the film.
Is that why they changed the animated style, Eric? Because it was jarring to see Buzz Lightyear in that animation style to me. I don't know. It just seemed different.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But alright, continue on.
But anyways, it's about how he as a captain went on this mission and with this Space Ranger Force, and he ended up getting stuck on the planet because the mission ended up in complete abject failure and their ability to hyperspeed off the planet, the thing that powers it was destroyed. So without a substitute of that, they were basically stuck on there until they could create a new power source. But every time they've tried to create a suitable substitute, it became unstable, and he kept failing. And the years went on by because he suffered the effects of time dilation every time they failed. And he eventually gets to like 100 years later, and he's been canned as a mission objective and basically being reassigned, and they're gonna decommission his pet robot cat thing. And that's when he decides to steal the cat, because the cat had finally come up with a stable solution for the formula to get them off the planet with a correct hyperspeed crystal. And that's when the robots start showing up, and there's a whole adventure with that. I kind of hate how they did Zurg dirty, because they didn't make him a proper villain. And instead, they kind of did the time travel thing where he's an evil version of himself. Spoiler! But if you were paying attention to the movie, it's not that much of a spoiler, really, though. But it was alright. There's a sequel hook, but I'm not so sure they'll make a sequel.
You're exiled, Frank. Exiled.
But I'm going to give
just
this
kidding.
Movie...
That's not a movie I'm going to go to the bat for.
I'm also going to give this movie a 6.5.
Alright, that's fair. Slightly above average. You know, that's good. All right, and you're going to hold off on your Dragon Ball Super.
I'll do it.
No,
but...
you can do it. I'll take my headset off. Let me know when you're back or when you're done.
All right.
But my mostly spoiler-free review of Dragon Ball Super Superhero. Yes, Super is twice in the title because Toriyama didn't think very well when he came up with the title of the film. In retrospect, he said it was redundant, but not so really. I mean, Superhero is different than Super because Dragon Ball Super is the name of the series, but. Yeah, they probably could have used Super somewhere else. But, it's about, takes place at least a year and a half to 2 years after the events of, the series, which is after the Tournament Power. And while the manga does fill in that time, the movie itself doesn't acknowledge it because they don't want to. They're not necessarily sure whether or not they should just continue the super anime and just readapt what's going on in the manga already up to this point. And they might actually end up doing an alternate story where they do basically the same beats, maybe with different scenarios. So the characters introduced in the manga might not actually show up, or they'll show up in different capacities. So it doesn't try to acknowledge what happened in those films, and it just vaguely references other strong guys, because like you see a scene of Goku and Vegeta talking about how their training philosophies are clashing and why they need to train, and it's in reference to the Tournament of Power, and the other strong guys probably does refer to the characters that show up in the manga after that. But so that was a clever use of that. Piccolo and Gohan get power upgrades, and they're pretty interesting because Piccolo just straight up becomes super strong, and he resembles an orange-looking Hulk-type figure because he bulks up like the Hulk does. And he's already green, but they had to change the color to something else because to make him look more different. But he actually kind of reminds me of Lord Slug in terms of his physique when he goes to that mode. And Gohan basically just becomes an even more wild-looking version of the Super Saiyan 2 form from when he was younger. And I theorize that he actually kind of looks like no, sorry. Break interrupted me. Thanks, Break. But I theorize that he's basically drawing on his mother's rage that he inherited from her, and it's just being drawn into his ultimate potential so he could just get more powerful that way.
Alright.
Because apparently she inherited something from her father, which was like the rage of a wild boar. And considering how angry she gets, I can believe that there's something like going on there. Like, that's, I would say demonic, but like definitely umbral.
But,
anyways, it's cute, and the animation actually looks pretty good despite it being not 60 frames. I actually think it is 60 frames, but they're doing the Guilty Gear thing where they're drawing less frames of animation per movement so that it looks like it's moving like a animatic comic book and an animated cell. So, because there's also hybrid animation going on, so that's kind of why they had to do it the way they did. So it looks no worse than watching a Guilty Gear, all those Guilty Gear sequences in the story mode for Guilty Gear Strive or something like that. I think it's the best Dragon Ball movie yet. It probably has the most story. And even though in the movie's actually tight, I think there is a bit of character development, and it's definitely setting up for possibly the show shifting away from Goku and Vegeta. Even though I think the next movie is probably going to be Goku and Vegeta focused, because it's building up something there as well. Because Broly's being trained to control his power, and the villain of the movie, while the movie doesn't show it, is suggesting that he was specifically created to fight Broly, because Broly showed up on Earth, and the villains from the Revenant Army were basically still spying on him at that point, and they probably have his data. And they called Goku and Vegeta mid-tier bosses, because Broly's probably stronger at them at this point, even with their extra training. So, like I said, I really liked it, and I think if you're a fan of Dragon Ball or even just action movie anime, you should check it out. And I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Wow, great score, man. All right. Wow. Skodema says, OMG, I was distracted by you guys and I missed my exit on the freeway. We're compelling. What can I say, Skodema? Can we bring back a break now, Eric?
Yeah. All right.
All right. So great score on that for sure. So I'm going to get into mine, and I'm going to do mine fairly quick. I already talked about Sonic 2. I'm not going to do a review on She-Hulk after one episode, but I will say I'm kind of scratching my head on She-Hulk a little bit. I'm interested to see what's going on with that, because She-Hulk is an awesome comic book character. So, it was slightly intriguing to me. I'm just wondering how this is going to play out.
review.
What's that?
What are you reviewing?
She-Hulk. I'm just did an impression. I'm going to review 12 Feet Under. I'm going to review The Ledge. I'm going to review Vox Machina Season 1. And I'm going to top it off all with Shibuya Scramble, which I've been playing forever, as you guys know. So, those are my reviews. 12 Feet Under, I'm just going to go rapid fire, except for Shibuya. 12 Feet Under is a very suspenseful movie about these two sisters that get stuck in a swimming pool. They cover the swimming pool, and then they're underneath that cover. Obviously, there's a little bit of room there for breathing, but not much else. So, it was fairly harrowing. There's a... it's one of those sequence of events type of things where people get themselves in predicament and there's nothing they can do about it. But the late night janitor who is told that she's going to be fired that night basically is the only one left in the building after the fact, and she's kind of nefarious. She's kind of a drug addict and, you know, needs money, and you can tell that's why she got fired. She was looking through people's like stuff to, you know, get money and stuff. And so the guy tells her it's sort of like a felon release program, apparently, at this pool. So it just plays out where these women are just, it's harrowing. They get stuck there, and the woman has a chance to let them leave, but she obviously wants some money. So there's some stuff, stuff that goes on that the woman, you know, wants to get their money, and they end up, it's just one thing after another with these women, and they try to get out, and there's not much in that pool for them to have the means to get out. But I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good movie, but the problem I had with it is it's much ado about nothing, because once they get out, I mean, there's no consequences for anybody. It just ends. So, I mean, it's a slightly above average movie. I give it a 6.5 out of 10 for the tension and stuff. There's some acting in there that isn't the greatest in the world. They didn't have the budget to get really great actors, so these are newer actors and actresses. And Tobin Bell makes a brief appearance in it, which he's always good, but, you know, the rest of the movie suffers from having a really good actor in it, is the best way that I can put it. Direction was okay, but overall I think it's a 6.5. The next movie is slightly better. It's called The Ledge, another suspense-filled movie about these two women that meet up with these four guys at a distant, like, mountainous lodge, and the women are expert rock climbers, you know, like freehand rock climbers, which is crazy shit, right? Free climbing, and the guys are just a step underneath that, so they can't quite do, you know, what these women can, But, you know, of course, there's a plot about them trying to hook up and all this. But it ends up being that the leader of these four guys is kind of an asshole. He's ready to get married. He's engaged, but he's still cheating on his wife. So he's just a real scumbag. And one thing leads to another, and they, you know, one of the women gets killed by these guys, you know, and the other woman has to, like, run and climb a big-ass harrowing mountain in order to get away, and so they do their best to climb their way around and catch up to her, but she, you know, she's a badass, and kind of how things play out there, but... I don't know. I like the tension. I think watching those movies gives me anxiety like they would any human being. It's funny watching Bernie watch these movies because she has anxiety anyway. So her watching these movies is like her palms are sweaty and, you know, it's like one of those type of things. But I thought it was really well done.
She's the kind of person who can't eat popcorn in her lap when she's watching a movie.
Oh, yeah. No doubt, man. Screaming and, you know, jumping.
I'm
yeah,
not
that's
cleaning
been...
that up.
Yeah, but I think it was a really well acted movie. Again, not a lot of actors that people know, but in this case, they're better actors than the previous movie. So I give this movie a solid 7.5 out of 10. I think it's a one of those good like watch on streaming if you get a chance to, or maybe the Redbox. Where did we see this on the Ledge, Bernie? Do you remember? Oh, I think it was on Hulu. So if you guys want to watch The Ledge, then Hulu will be the place to go for it. 12 Feet Under, I believe, was on Amazon Prime. So most of everything that I watch is streaming nowadays. So, you know, there you go. The next one is Vox Machina Season 1 on Amazon Prime. Did you watch it?
Yes.
I thought it was a fun first season. It's basically everybody's that's played Dungeons and Dragons has experienced Vox Machina Season 1. I mean, it's got a pretty straightforward plot with a you know couple of
this is the XR rated version of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, yes. Which I mean, anybody that's played
which Dungeons, I enjoy. I love this.
Dungeons. Is anybody right. interested in that Among Thieves D&D movie next year?
Yes, I am. Just because I've played Dungeons & Dragons, you know, forever, yeah, but...
And there's no way it could be worse than the first Dungeons &
Dragons. No way it could
be. It's definitely got to be better than the Uncharted movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. So,
first Dungeons & Dragons movie, good God in heaven.
I mean, there's points in this Vox Machina series where it's like it just took me back to like arguments that I've had at the D&D table with people. You know what I mean? Like it's such an homage to Dungeons and Dragons that this may have well been a campaign in Dungeons and Dragons, right? I mean, it was really good and I liked it. I like the characters, the voice acting was solid, the animation was actually pretty good for what it was. So I mean, there's nothing much not to like about Vox Machina Season 1, like Brake said, it is a very adult-oriented
Lots of blood and guts, and I think there's nudity in this.
There is a little bit of nudity and sex, yeah, which,
I was about to say, it's like Invincible, but I was like, wait, no, Invincible doesn't have nudity. Yeah, there's nudity in this.
Yeah, a little bit of nudity. Mm-hmm. And a lot of moxie and wit to this show. So I'm interested to see where season 2 goes. They did get renewed for season 2, so I give it a solid 8 out of 10. I think there's slight room for improvement, but it's on its way to being a great series, and I hope they keep it going. They got every D&D stereotype that you could possibly think of in this for the most part. So it is from a campaign, Freak 5 says, started as a podcast of voice actors playing D&D. Yeah? Yeah. I think I read something on that, Freak, so it's
just
great.
I reminded of something that I completely forgot to mention in my review note. Here's a funny story about me watching Nope. By the time I got out of theater, it was dark at around 7:30, and I heard two very loud noises from several hundred feet away, and... By the time I got near the interstate freeway, I heard an ambulance, and I was like, oh my god, those were gunshots.
Yikes.
Wow.
And it's just funny, juxtaposing that against the movie I was seeing called Nope, so I noped out of there.
Yeah, I would have too, man, for sure. That's a great deal, but I don't have like four other games to get to.
I'm probably never going to that theater again because of that.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude.
I don't want to go to Ashtabula Theater because I'll probably get shot.
God, do they have this?
I hate hearing it. Like, you're sitting in your living room watching TV, you're hearing gunshots. I hate that shit.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, is this actually in? Can I get a pickup at the store? It looks like I can, man. That's a great deal. $3 for Trails of Cold Steel 3? That's fucking great.
I don't know if you've got the first two, but you can get that for cheap. Why not?
Why not? $3? Shit. Critical Role. I think it is Critical Role, Freak 5. Okay. My final review is for a game called Shibuya Scramble. It's basically a novel, choose-your-own-adventure game. There's no voice acting in it. There is a couple of videos included in this, but mostly it's stills of basically visual representations of what you're reading and what's going on. I thought it was really well written. There's a couple of too tidy, like Hollywood ending type stuff at the end stuff, and one thing that I did find to be really irritating is when you do get to that end, it's really hard to find the path that gets you to that end. So I wish that was something that they would have did a little bit better, but I really don't know how they could have. They have so many bad endings in there. I mean, you're bound to run into probably 50 bad endings.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It, like I said, it's like a choose-your-own-adventure. Mm-hmm. And then what I like is when you get to a bad ending, they give you a hint on how to change that ending so you can go back to another. Although in the last couple of hours, they don't give you those hints, which kind of sucks. But, but other than that.
About 20 of the endings are dedicated to making slightly different choices during the climax.
Yeah. And that does kind of suck because, like I said, it's hard to get to the actual end of the game. And the other thing I didn't like is they didn't explain what happened. Like one of the main characters, did he get back with his woman and have a Hollywood ending with her? Like they, there were some things I did not like about the game. But overall,
there is a supplemental material that covers the very end of the game and what went on with that character.
Is that in the, after you finish the game, because I didn't do that little bit. Okay. Well, I'll look at that too, but.
I haven't done it yet either, but yeah, I have to get to it.
I mean, it's a fun game. If you like choose-your-own-adventure type games, if you like a little bit of intrigue and a couple of plot twists and detective story type game, I mean, this is definitely the game for you. I mean, I had a lot of fun. I did think it was a bit too long, though, for this type of game. But it is a very healthy game. And right now it's on sale on the PlayStation Store. So if you have a few extra bucks, I mean, it's worth it. Because there's lots of hours of gameplay in this game. It's not just one of these things where you can just go through it in a night and beat it. So, yeah. Do I remember the Choose Your Own Adventure books? Of course, Skodima.
Yes,
no
absolutely.
Doubt. And
I love cheating those books.
Yeah, I know. You just go to the end and you see, like, you work backwards, and then you're like,
I'd read up, and then when it goes to a choice, I'd like keep my thumb on that page and like see which one. Like, I'll try this one. Oh shit! Nope, I'm going back.
See, I played those games or read those books the right way, but when I would make a choice, I would always like, oh fuck, like look at like, just kind of like go to that page and I'm like, oh shit, this is the wrong one, but they were a ton of fun.
Even when I cheated, I still died.
You'll do that in this game a lot, Skodima. Like if you ever play if any of you PlayStation, I don't know if it's on, I don't think it's on Xbox, is it, Eric?
No.
Yeah,
they
think it's
ported it yet.
Yeah, I wish they would because this is a game.
Microsoft might eventually do it though because they've been porting a lot of their stuff to this Xbox.
I hope they do because
while it's Nonary Games and Virtue's Last Reward or Zero Time Dilemma, aren't on Switch yet. I suspect they will be because they just want to finish up doing the Xbox version first.
Yeah. So this game is a ton of fun. It's got a lot of different endings. Like, you can get, like, absurd bad endings. You can get, you know, bad endings that make a lot of sense. But it sometimes it gets a little hard to figure out how to find the right path forward. So it's kind of my only beef with the game. I thought the, you know, story was pretty decent. Like I said, there were some, you know, at the end it's kind of Hollywood type ending. But overall, all in all, I think it's a pretty solid game for this type of game, and I give it an 8 out of 10. I mean, you guys know I've been playing this game for a long time, so I finally got it out of the way, so I can look forward to, you know, doing something else.
The best part is where you're playing as the girl who's stuck in my cat suit.
Yeah, Tama. Tama was a fun character to play, but she plays a bigger role in the grand scheme of things. But Freak says there was a series of books that were like Choose Your Own Adventures that were all about time travel. I remember those books, Freak Fire. I like those books too. They were really
You time traveled back to 90 million BC. You're eaten by a dinosaur. Turn back to base.
Yeah, exactly. There was one of those books that was like that. Like, you end up going back to, like, dinosaur days, and then you get eaten or something, and then it's like, yeah, yeah. So there you go.
90,000, the year 9 million BC. Do you step out of your time machine, or you stay in the time machine?
Fuck no.
I step out of the time machine.
Oh.
You're immediately eaten by a T-Rex.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I kept my thumb on the page. That doesn't count. I'm going back in time for this shit.
I'm going to go back to the Old West days.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back about a couple years when that thing's little. I'm going to fucking teach a lesson, goddamn T-Rex motherfucker.
you get like a... You know, like a fucking grenade launcher. You go back in time and you just fucking grenade launch the T-Rex, and you end up breaking the time-space continuum because that T-Rex was like the key to the entire universe. You know, it's like,
it was like you find out that, like, through the process of DNA reincarnation shit, that it was actually your grandfather or something.
Yeah.
Butterfly effect.
Butterfly effect, exactly. That's exactly right.
Like, you killed the thing that became the human that would become your grandfather.
There was a book like that where there was a time machine, and this guy, like, steps on a leaf or something, and it sets off a chain of events that just fucks up all of everything.
They do that on a Simpsons episode, too.
Yeah, yeah. These books didn't have you die, if I remember correctly. I know which ones you're talking about, Freak Five, but the Choose Your Own Adventure books were kind of glum, man. Like they were.
There was a lot of dying.
There was a lot of dying, man. Like, there's a lot of dying in this Shibuya Scramble too. You would not be disappointed, Break. It's actually really fun. It's a ton of fun to play. It just gets a little tedious, and the only other little nitpick that I got,
because there's no voice acting at all.
Yeah, no voice acting. But the one thing that did bother me is that the music does get repetitive after a
while. It probably would have been easier to digest if it were on the Switch, though, because the game was originally a Wii release, which was a weird enough platform choice in itself, because I guess they could have held out and did a DS release a few years later.
I guess. I mean, it's a fine game. I recommend people play it, for sure. Time Machine, they were trying to be educational. Yeah, so no dying in those.
Educational, God.
I know. It's like those educational math games on the Atari. I don't know if you remember those, Break, but those suck.
I remember doing something like that on the Apple.
Yeah.
The old Apple machines where we had the giant floppy disks. You know, the ones that were actually floppy.
Yeah. I remember playing, like, Carmen Sandiego on those things, man. Those were fun. Or Oregon Trail and, you know, shit like that, but... All right, I think it's time to go, guys. Let's get the hell out of here.
I think I mostly like Thomas' story, though, because of everything that involves that storyline. Also involves the stupid dude with the afro.
Oh, he was Yagashita, I think his name was. He was a lot of fun, man. There's a lot of endearing characters in this, and a lot of emotional, you know, type stuff. So I just
also, that butler is fucking creepy as hell.
With what?
The butler.
Which butler?
The dude who's basically the assistant to the writer, or the doctor, I mean.
Tateno or whatever his name was. Yeah. 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 I like it, man. I mean, I thought it was pretty good, man. It just, it's one of the, there's a few twists and turns in the game too, but, Mickey Mouse game was badass.
He typed Mackie Mouse, and I was really thinking, like, Mackie Mouse? I'm Mackie. What's that?
Was there a Mackie Mouse? Was there a Mackie Mouse?
I feel stupid now. Yeah. Very stupid.
All right, let's do our plugs. Start with you, Brake.
He says the Time Machine games are educational. Death is educational. I mean, you don't want somebody going back in time to the Old West and, like, drinking water or something.
Right,
like, I mean,
you'll die. Absolutely.
You gotta, like, warn people about this kind of stuff. That's education. Right. You know, you don't want the butterfly effect. You don't want to go back there and kill all the dinosaurs by sneezing or something.
Well, like, yeah, you could literally do that. You go back with the flu and you go back to Wild West times, that could set everything completely different. You know, it's like, it's crazy the amount of things that could go wrong with the time machine, man. Even taking your time machine back and landing it somewhere could cause a cataclysmic effect, you know?
And how would it work? Like, would time break or would it split off? I mean, who's to say? Like, would we go into an alternative timeline? Would our time still exist?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like,
right.
What happens then? Like, there's so many questions.
Well, it's a multiverse.
Based on my understanding, time is fairly linear. So even if you could travel through time, you could probably only go forwards. And even if you could go back in the past, you'd probably just make a splinter reality where different set of things happened.
Right, like an alternate history type thing. Like,
and if you went back to your own time, you wouldn't be able to change anything in that timeline.
Right, right. All right, I'm definitely going to check that out after the show, Freak 5. I love the new Beavis
and Butthead.
Maybe
you're not creating alternate realities. Maybe that reality always exists. Maybe the time machine just allows you to see the
new episodes of Loki.
If you made those choices.
Yeah, new episodes of Loki.
What if it destroys the universe? Hmm?
That's true, too.
Yeah, maybe. Like, they're tinkering with time. Maybe that's illegal, and it'll destroy the universe or something.
Exactly. Maybe it'll just create a black hole of nothingness.
Create a black hole, is that what you're about to say?
Yeah. In my opinion, if you could travel back in time, you were already in the past before you left in your correct time. Well, that's... I mean, it's that whole infinite loop thing, Freak 5. Triangle did a really good job of doing the time travel type thing.
What was that movie? Crime Times. Twelve Monkeys
was good, but you know what even better is Time Crimes. Time Crimes is one of the greatest time travel movies of all time.
Is that a comedy?
No. Time Crimes is like almost...
That almost sounds like it, though.
No, Time Crimes is fucking awesome, man. That's a great...
12 Monkeys as an example, because that's a time loop. Like, no matter what, that's them going back... Him going back in time was supposed to happen, and everything that happened was supposed to happen, you know? And that's... He's always going to go back in time, and it's always going to play out the exact same way.
Yep.
Is there going to be a season 2 of Loki?
Of what?
Of Loki?
Yes, there is, for sure.
Yeah, they already... this is Disney. I was thinking about HBO Max for a second.
Yeah. I'm going to get rid of HBO Max.
WandaVision.
I mean, I told you guys the reason for me to have HBO Max was a lot of the Warner Brothers stuff, but if they take that off, I'm out.
They've just been taking stuff off without warning.
The rest of Ben 10 before they decided to pull all the rest of the Cartoon Network stuff, too.
Yeah. All right, let's get out of here, guys. I'm getting hungry. Break. Plug away.
I'm hungry. You're getting... Wait, what are we talking about again?
Plug, sir.
Oh, you can follow me at...
You were practicing that. I knew you were practicing. We heard you while Eric was doing his review.
Wait,
man.
Maybe Skype not working is what Brake was doing. He was practicing.
That's why Skype doesn't work. It hears my harmonica.
Brake's got a time machine to go back in time to kill the creator of Skype. Before he's even born, you know, it's like a Terminator version. All right,
now because then we
go to the
show.
Book,
so
find a name, like,
you go back in time to teach him how to create a not shitty version.
Right, a non shitty version. So in essence, he helps himself in the future, and then all of a sudden, like, every episode of Grinders is on time and perfect Skype calls, and you know. Like,
yeah, so that's not going to happen. I'm going to go break his hands.
That's more interesting anyways.
And then what do you get from helping him out will go to your bank account so you can get a better computer. So yeah, even the Skype does go. Have problems.
Yeah, there's that's money. Even better.
Well, now I'll do the right thing.
All right, Eric, come on, let's do your plugs, man. Let's get out of here.
You can find written reviews on BostonPressRadio.com, and then there's the audio feed where I do audio reviews. I don't have anything this week. Like I mentioned, I didn't do anything last week, but I was going to get the two episodes of the Metroid Retrospective that I've done so far up, and they're up now. So you can check those out. And if you like any of that stuff and you want to continue or want to support me, even giving me as little $1 per month or just whatever you can for a one-time donation would help out a lot. Or you can mention me to somebody who's more interested, who could do monthlies or whatever, if you can't. But the link to my Patreon is in my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. You can look at my other channel, and I've got some very interesting content on there. It's called Mexican Long Hair. If you like cop watching, if you like audits, if you like just general stupidity, then feel free to check that channel out. Make sure you check out Shibuya Scramble. And I'm also on all of the services as RP Grinders, whether it be PlayStation, Xbox, or the Switch. Let's see. Also, I will be getting an Xbox X at some point after I get back from my vacation in September, so look forward to that. And I think that's it. You guys have anything else?
It just depends on how much you win.
Yeah, I'm hoping to win at least some. I'm not going to do a lot of gambling, to be honest.
No, I'm saying, like, your purchase depends on how soon you purchase it depends on how much you win in Vegas.
It actually does not. But I just got, you know, logistics after I get back, pretty much. You know, just seeing where I'm at. And it really doesn't depend on that, to be honest. But it'll be a month or less, I can tell you that much.
If you win a lot of money, though, you don't have to.
Oh, if I win a lot of money, then shit, I might buy one in Vegas and have it shipped there by the time I get home. You know, so nice. That would be cool. If you like Hot Tub Time Machine, Skotoma says. So yeah, if you like sultry hot tub time, yeah, go check out Mexican Long Hair on YouTube. All right, and I think that's pretty much it. You guys have anything else?
Meh.
Make sure you check out Shibuya Scramble 2 on the PlayStation. It's pretty damn good. And a lengthy novel game. So there you go. Eric, anything else?
Stay safe. Continue to wear masks wherever because the pandemic's still not over.
Yeah. All right. I don't have anything else for you guys. Take care. Stay safe this weekend. And until the next one, we are out. Later, everybody.
This is the
even the cats can't stand your microphone, your harmonica playing.
Cats already didn't like it. Dog came by the time she didn't like it.